From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 17 and verse 7. Marvelous loving kindness. When we give our hearts with our alms, we give well. But we must often plead to a failure in this respect. Not so our Master and our Lord. His favors are always performed with the love of His heart. He does not send to us the cold meat and the broken pieces from the table of His luxury. But He dips our morsel in His own dish, and seasons our provisions with the spices of His fragrant affections. When He puts the golden tokens of His grace into our palms, He accompanies the gift with such a warm pressure of our hand that the manner of His giving is as precious as the boon itself. He will come into our houses upon His errands of kindness, and He will not act as some austere visitors do in the poor man's cottage, but He sits by our side, not despising our poverty, nor blaming our weakness. Beloved, with what smiles does He speak? What golden sentences drop from His gracious lips? What embraces of affection does He bestow upon us? If He had but given us farthings, His way of giving would have gilded them. But as it is, the costly alms are set in a golden basket by His pleasant carriage. It is impossible to doubt the sincerity of His charity, for there is a bleeding heart stamped upon the face of all His benefactions. He giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Not one hint that we are burdensome to Him, not one cold look for His poor pensioners, but He rejoices in His mercy and presses us to His bosom while He is pouring out His life for us. There is a fragrance in His spikenard which nothing but His heart could produce. There is a sweetness in His honeycomb which could not be in it unless the very essence of His soul's affection had been mingled with it. Oh, the rare communion which such singular heartiness effecteth! May we continually taste and know the blessedness of it.
Oh,
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tomassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he continues part 2 of a message entitled, Pastoral Prayer for an Infant Church. The text is verses 10 through 13 of chapter 3. Although absent from them, Paul's heart was greatly burdened for the new believers in Thessalonica. When Timothy returned with the report that the fledgling Christians were going on with God, Paul was overjoyed. In the final verses of the chapter, he utters a prayer for their continued progress in mutual love and personal holiness. He wanted to perfect their faith, not in its basic essence, but in its knowledge of all that they now possessed in Christ. Now, to continue this message, here is the Reverend Armand Tomassian.
Now, we need to understand exactly what Paul is saying here. Perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Was there something wanting in their justification? Was there a sense that they were partly saved but not completely saved? Well, we know that's not the case. You go back to chapter 1, verse 4. He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. There's this certainty of where they stand before God, that they had experienced divine election and divine love. Knowing, brethren, beloved, or beloved of God, you have received the love of God. And you know, the electing love of God. This is something that has transformed you so that it can be said in verse 9 that they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There had been a transformation in their lives. So these are a justified people. Those that are in the church professing faith in Christ, they are people that belong to the Lord. So what way is their faith lacking? Well, it's not about the strength of their faith, but more about the knowledge of the faith. What it is they believe of the faith. And that's why Paul wants to be there. If it was about the strength of their faith, if it's about, if you look at the text, to perfect that which is lacking in your faith, if it was about the fact that they were lacking faith itself, or there was a measure of faith that was wanting, then Paul could just exhort them to ask God to fill their minds and fill their hearts with more faith. But he sees his instrumentality in this, that it's not so much about the measure of their faith in terms of how much faith do they have, but the faith that they've already trusted themselves to, the faith of the gospel, is wanting. They don't know everything that they need to know. And so Paul's desire is to add to what they already understand. They don't understand everything there is to know about the gospel. They don't grasp everything there is to grasp about the personal work of Jesus Christ. They don't know everything that will prepare them to live the Christian life. And so he sees himself as God's instrument, as it were, to help the people of God grow in their faith. And so he's not saying believe more, but I want to be with you so that you can have more to believe. That is the sense of perfecting the faith, completing the faith. To perfect the faith so they grow in their understanding. Now Paul shows this over and over again in the epistles. I'm not going to take time to turn to it. That really his focus is upon their understanding. He constantly focuses upon more truth. You need more truth. Now, it's very easy for God's people to get to a point thinking that we know enough. Christ died for our sins. They're washed away. We're going to heaven. And even in our context here in the church here, we may be able to add to that greatly. Be able to say we know this, we know that, we know this doctrine, we know this subject. But to be able to confess before God that there's more to know, more to understand, and to that deep desire to really know more about the Lord and what he has done. We are to read, therefore, we are to hear sermons, we are to have the desire to be growing in what we understand of what the Lord has done for us. Paul's desire to perfect or complete what was lacking in them shows that converts must be brought to maturity. That they have to grow. He's not just interested in converts, but he realizes that they have to know certain things. The Great Commission, in Matthew 28, verse 20, I've quoted it many times, says that we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So there is this teaching that goes on once people profess faith in Christ. Once they grow in their knowledge of their sins forgiven, there's more for them to learn. So when Paul uses this word to perfect their faith, to complete their faith, he is saying to them, there's more for you to understand. The same word is used in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, when Jesus says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So there is a completion in the growth of the disciple as he becomes like his master. Everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. He's not above, but he has to become like his master. And this is the Christian life. He has to be taught more so he understands what Jesus Christ has done for him, that Jesus Christ is his ultimate goal, manifesting a life like Christ and constantly growing in that life. John Calvin notes, from this also it appears how necessary it is for us to give careful attention to doctrine. For teachers were not appointed merely with the view of leading men in the course of a single day or month to the faith of Christ, but for the purpose of perfecting the faith which has been begun. Perfecting the faith. Now, you may wonder, you know, why would someone spend so many months in one book? Why would he take so long to get through a book? I mean, you can read through this in a matter of minutes. And yet, 6 months later, into the seventh month, we're still here. And you may wonder why. We're halfway through the year with, I don't know how many messages, close to 30 messages on the Gospel of Luke. We're not even finished chapter 3. And you may wonder, well, why? It seems very labored. And the purpose, beloved, is because you can read it for yourself. And if I am to preach the word in such a way where I take, you know, one chapter at a time or two chapters at a time and just skim over the book, you'll not learn much more than what you can glean for yourself. The purpose of the pastor is to slow down, is to teach the people what they don't see for themselves. It is to have the ability to just break down the Scriptures and slowly look at it so we grasp exactly what is contained. The Spirit of God has told us that every word of God is pure. Every word has significance. Every word can aid my sanctification. Every word can transform my life. We have known the power of even one verse in our own lives. The power of one text of Scripture as it has come to our hearts, transforming us, bringing us to repentance, bringing us to faith, helping us to grow and understand the will of the Lord. And so, we slow down, and this is what Paul wanted to do. The letter is a substitute for what Paul really wanted to do. Now, we're thankful, too, how God providentially used Paul's inability to go there to cause him to write a letter that we have to this day. God overrules in a wonderful way. But Paul would never, ever want to substitute being there in person with a letter if he had a choice. He'd far rather be with the people, slowly going over these matters, expounding upon them, and taking his time. I mean, we read of him preaching to midnight, taking his time because, you know, time is limited, and he wants to teach the people as much as he can before he leaves. And this is the mind of the apostle. If they know more, their faith gets complete. It gets perfected. It grows. It advances. And so the reason Paul wanted to be there, the reason he's praying for the overthrow of Satan's conquest to prevent him from being there, is because he wants to address the areas of weakness and ignorance. And this is God's will for all of our lives, beloved. His will is to bring us to completion, that he might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So we ask ourselves the question, what is lacking in my faith? What is lacking in your faith? I don't want to get sidetracked, but as I was reading this and preparing for this past week, my mind was brought to where Paul wrote to Timothy and says to him that he's really exhorting him to study, to give himself to the things that Paul has given and instructed him in. And he says that thy profiting may appear to all. Thy profiting may appear to all. Now that assumes a number of things. It assumes, first of all, that Timothy, even though mature enough to lead a congregation, was not perfect, not complete. He himself needed to grow, needed to advance in his knowledge. And so as he would advance in his knowledge, the people would see it. That also implies the fact that Paul, or Timothy rather, is in a place, in one place, for a certain length of time, because you're not going to see growth in a mature person overnight. Sometimes when people come to faith in Christ, you see dramatic changes in their life very quickly, very early on. And you can see it. You see, well, once he gave himself to this, or she was doing that, or whatever, and saying the other, and overnight there's been this transformation. You can see it in their countenance. You can see it in everything about them. There's a transformation. And it's a bit like the infant. I mean, whenever you see that infant child, and then a month later you can see, my, look how much larger, bigger the child is. You can see the growth. But whenever they get to 30, and you see someone a month later, unless something's very unusual, they'll basically look the same. You won't see any difference. So with maturity comes slower progress in terms of the dramatic influence of it. But it is not to stop. That's very humbling. It's humbling for a pastor to be exhorted that thy profiting may appear to all. That as you stand before people over the course of years, that they would actually see a distinct difference in the man that first came before them and where he is years later. That text has always been a challenge to me. And when you go to a little congregation of 20 people, it's very easy to be careless. It's very easy to say to yourself, well, I mean, they'll be happy with anything. I don't really need to work. I don't really need to labor in the Word, because as long as I bring something, then they'll be content. But I remember being very challenged by that early on, shortly after my ordination, 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago, that thy profiting may appear to all. They have to see you grow. And one of the ways that is seen is in your understanding, as well as in how that understanding manifests itself in your life. Well, that's Paul's emphasis. I want to perfect, I want to complete that which is lacking in your faith. You don't know everything. You don't understand all of your sins. You don't understand the gravity of certain sins that remain in your life. You don't recognize all the glory of the Lord Jesus and what He has done. You need to grow. So this is His reason. But note also His submission. Verse 11. There's a submission here, even in His wish to overthrow Satan's conquest. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way onto you. While He desires to see Satan's efforts overcome, He submits to the Lord's providence. You see the word there He uses, direct our way onto you. If you have a margin, it will give the word guide as an alternative translation. But it has a sense of removing hindrances, not just guidance. It has a sense of removing hindrances to make a path. Paul uses it in one other place. It's the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 5, where he says, "And the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." The Lord direct your hearts. Guide your hearts. Remove the obstacles that prevent you from knowing the love of God. So who is directing? Well, you can see God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very interesting text, even in the way Paul constructs it here. You can see the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ being brought out, as he said, God Himself. God Himself. Well, who is God? Our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the divinity of Christ being brought out here. And even in the sense that he is looking both to the Father and to the Son to sovereignly direct our way onto you. We depend upon God to guide us every day. There is a submission to God in all things. Paul manifests this very clearly in his life. When you read through the book of Acts, you will see that it's not always about Paul's way. He has desires. He has longings. Especially you'll see it in Acts chapter 16. And he wants so badly to go east. And yet the Spirit forbids him. And he wants to go to, Bithynia. And again the Spirit prevents him. And constantly you find this man at times being hindered from going to the place that he wants to go. And while he would pray, he would submit himself entirely to God. For a long time he desired to go to Rome. He longed so badly to go to that city, and yet he never got there until, well, near the end. And he arrived there in a very different way than he would ever have imagined, arriving as a prisoner. So there's a submission here. When you think about your life, beloved, when you think about what you're wanting to do and where you want to live and where you're going to go and so on, have a complete submission to the Lord. Now God Himself, this is His wish. God Himself, if it would please God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-2425. 1-866-244-2408. That's 1-866-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.